Okay, before we begin this morning, will you please open your Bibles? It's a Bible church, so let's start with opening the Bibles to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. And what we're doing in Romans chapter 5 is we are looking at the free gift from God. And the free gift from God is eternal life. And that's what we'll be looking at from a perspective that not just looking at the doctrine of eternal life, but the teaching on it from Jesus Christ. But this is a beautiful verse. And just by way of introduction for our study, our singing, setting the pace for the whole morning. Verse 3 of Psalm 133. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Life forever. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Most all of us, Heavenly Father, believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior because we knew that this was not it. This was not the beginning and end of all our existence. We knew there was something after this life. Even as children, we knew we would not live forever in this body on this earth. But we knew it was not over. What a blessing gift you've given to us. A free gift. And as the psalmist says, the blessing of eternal life. Life forever with you. And because of this, Heavenly Father, we can live in peace day in and day out. Not in fear. Not in fear of death. Be it a violent death, a sudden death, a certain death, whatever. But we have the confidence, the assurance of eternal life. Father, we just pray that this will permeate into our souls today and be part of our thinking every day in our lives. Just at peace with it, because you have commanded, you have given eternal life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Okay, Brian, let's do some singing.
I am accorded in heaven a place.
I am sorry we have not sung that before too often. I picked it out when I used to go to a denominational church growing up. I loved Sunday night church. I loved it. I am so sorry that it just doesn't fit into the momentum of today's life for Sunday night church, but I loved it. We sang, the message was more uplifting, and fellowship after church. But we sing that hymn on Sunday nights, and I loved it. So we'll sing it more often. It's true, right? Everything in there is true, and it's just beautiful hymn. So we need to be accustomed and know this wonderful hymn. Okay, let's start. Yes.
That's a Baptist song.
Is it?
It isn't?
I don't know. I know that we did, in a Baptist church, we did sing that. And I loved it. So, and we had different renditions of it for the choir director. He didn't like them. And okay, let's talk about some things concerning the church. First of all, this evening is a wonderful time. Now, Terry, did you have some things you want to say? Okay.
Larry first. Thank you all who have made reservations. We're looking forward to this evening's event at 5:15 and 6:30 in Plaindown, where the kids have already been preparing their entertainment, and food is being prepared, and we'll be serving you all then. If you wish to make or join us tonight and didn't get a chance to make reservations, I still do have some availability at both seatings. So you could just tap me on the shoulder and I can make that happen. And I'll leave this poster up for those who may not have the address, but it is 2100 Lee. And again,
both seatings are at the same address?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
When you get there, why we couldn't move it around to a different
number. Okay.
It's quite the fun to put together.
But okay.
Anyway, we are looking forward to that, and we'll report back to you, of course, on the fundraising efforts from that after Friday.
Very good. Absolutely.
It's really a fundraiser without even raising funds. I mean, it's an email, first of all, went out. Leslie sent out an email. It's Kroger. If you shop at Kroger Grocery Store, it's called the Kroger Neighbor to Neighbor Program. And all you do is take one of these letters, which was emailed, or you can use it. It's got our barcode with the SBBC Youth Ministry on it. And when you go to purchase your groceries, how they scan your card, you give them this letter one time, the first time only, and then we start accumulating points to the youth ministry. And they donate over $1 million every year to different organizations. So what they do is they accumulate points, and then they divvy up the dividends between different organizations. And so, Leslie sent out an email. We already had a taper call, real excited, shops at Kroger's every month, and spends a lot, actually. And said he was taking his letter down right away to get that scanned. So I have these letters in the back. They also went out emailed. We need to get them scanned, if you don't mind, before July 1st, because the accumulation period is July 1st through April of 2013. So these are sitting in the back in case you didn't get one. We'll also send some to the youth groups. And if you have family members in Louisiana, this is all over Texas and Louisiana. Just spread the word. I mean, it's a simple process. And it doesn't take away from your fuel points or anything. So, you know, you're shopping anyway. You might as well earn some points for your favorite organization.
Okay, Terry, thank you very much.
This will be a
I'd love to shop at Kroger, so that's good. Last week they had Bluebell for $3.77. That was good. Huh? It was last week. Yeah. So, in fact, my granddaughters came up, they were opening the refrigerator and said, "Wow, look at all this ice cream. What are you doing with 2 gallons of everything?" And I said, "Well, it's on sale. Might as well get it while it's on sale. Y'all are going to eat it, so why not have it?" So, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. And what is the dress code?
Oh, casual.
Casual?
Absolutely casual.
As casual as Trey is?
Absolutely.
More casual.
I'm looking forward to it. That'll be wonderful. And, of course, it's going for the young people. Had a nice visit with Chris this week, and we just talked and kind of, okay, this week, this year is not even started, but looking at next year and maybe going to have to find a larger camp. It'd be very difficult to staff two camps. Very difficult. There's a lot of people cannot take off 2 weeks. I'm just so thankful that so many are off. We'll take off the 1 week. So we're going to have to see what we can do even about next year and just different things. So looking forward to a wonderful, wonderful camp this year. And so anything else on the camp or tonight or anything? Kizzy, how many are you bringing?
Ryan's bringing 8.
My goodness. I was sure I don't even think I had 20 friends that I'd want to be with at camp. That's wonderful. All right. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And we want to continue to be in prayer for Thomas. Thomas, how you doing? Doing okay.
Yeah, he has a 2-week checkup on Tuesday, and it actually will be his year checkup, too.
Be his yearly checkup. Be year checkup. All right.
His 1 year is next Saturday, so it's 16.
Wow.
So they'll do some additional blood work and things to see how everything's doing.
How did the checkup go this last Tuesday?
We didn't go last Tuesday. It was Tuesday before, and he's good. They're still working on the same thing that I talked about last week, his lungs. But I think they're doing a lot better. And then his getting him off the prednisone. So
okay.
He did band camp 2 days for 3 days straight this last week, and boy, was he hurt.
Wow.
He was standing the entire time.
Wow. Thomas, be like an Oprah. We just bring little chairs. We just sit where we have to. Well, Thomas, we just continually give thanks and continue to be in prayer every day. You're just a walking miracle and a reminder of God's grace to us all. Let's see. We want to be in prayer. Now, just James Webb. And I was going to say, Steve needs our prayer, but Steve's here. So how's everything going, man, at work? You're alive and kicking. Well, I'm glad. I know you're alive. I'm glad you're kicking. That's good. And Tish is down under the weather, so we need to be in prayer for her. As I was saying, James Webb is under the weather, and so we need to be in prayer for him. And need to be in prayer for Judith's mother, Christine. Just it's almost a daily thing. Some days really good, some days not so good. So please be in prayer. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Please continue to pray for my Bible study at work.
Yes.
So we moved it to Thursday, and our group has grown from 5 to 6. The prayer that I, participant number 6 has declared himself a non-believer philosopher. And he has really been giving us a run for the money. So we've been practicing, we're excited about it, and we hope that he keeps.
And he keeps coming right now, though?
Yeah. Right.
Good. Yeah. John Hintz, everybody knows, he teaches in a old folks' place, and he's so perfect for them. He's uplifting. He's funny. And his study has more than any other, the Baptists, the Catholics, any of them, more of them come to him, to his study, than any of them. And the director was saying, you talk about death, you're not afraid to talk about death, you make them laugh, it's all uplifting, every message is uplifting, it deals with them, their relationship with the Lord, all these wonderful things. But I went last year or the year before when I was there, I went and he asked, We don't know, even he doesn't know if this man, the old man, is a believer or not. But he is grumpy. And I mean, well, I don't know about that. So John just interacts with him. What's so beautiful, a couple of the ladies that are in there, and one just has a beautiful smile. She's probably 93, 94, 95, but she's just beautiful. And she'll just say, all right, horse, shut up. John can't say that. So they add to the dimension. John said, you know, he interacts with him and doesn't just stuff him off. So you never know. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes. What state do they live in?
They live in Greenberg.
Okay. They're in prayer. All right. Yes.
So we need to include Jay, our son Jay, and his family. They're traveling today.
Okay. All right. So you don't have to put up with your brother today, huh? Yes.
Mickey had sent an email and said that his cousin Lorraine had a heart attack.
Oh, wow. I know. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're in prayer. Yeah, we'll be in prayer for the opportunity to witness, and her name,
Lorraine.
Yeah. Okay, it'll be a good opportunity. Yes.
My wife is traveling next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Coming back from Greece, she's only got 1 hour of JFK from the time she lands there, so when she's supposed to take off, to come down here. So
from where?
Greece.
No, I meant where is the change plane?
JFK.
Oh, JFK. Oh wow, that could be fast moving. Yeah. You might want to go there, Walker. Oh, okay, got it covered. Good. Okay, is there any other prayer requests that we need to be aware of? All right, let's be in prayer for each other, people. Every person in this room has a prayer request. Didn't say it, but every one of us do. You're in a spiritual warfare. I like to remind you, having studied John 17, that Christ himself said, I do not pray for those in the world. I pray for those that are in the battle. People, we need to pray for one another. Now, it doesn't mean you don't pray for your unbelieving friends. It doesn't mean you don't pray for your believer friends who are not in the spiritual warfare. But people, we need to devote a lot of our time to pray for one another. I need your prayers in my studies, my health, my studies. All of us do. John Hintz needs your prayers. So we need to be in prayer for one another. Those we know that are in the battle. And these are the ones under attack. These are the ones that are striving to walk by faith, you and each other. So we need to be in prayer for one another. Thank you for your prayers for Judah's son, Kelly. He's getting better and better and able to walk now without crutches. He's in pain, but at least he's getting around, getting back to work and in that area. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity. People, we have expenses with the internet, just things that we do, payment for. And we studied in our 9:15 class in 1 Corinthians, got to have the spiritual appraisal of what we do with our time, our money, our life, decisions. Life's made up of choices. Life is made up of choices. And we have the privilege of making choices relating time and eternity. So you have a choice. You can use all the money for material things, or the invisible spiritual warfare. These are the things that need to be taken care of. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, occasionally when we come to this facet of worship, We are reminded here of the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other for the exercise of this facet of worship. The political, economic freedom that we still enjoy in this country. The freedom, Heavenly Father, to work. The freedom to have a profit, a little extra, that is not common in many places around the world. Father, we're thankful for the political, economic freedom we enjoy in this country. We're thankful for our founding fathers putting it together, orchestrating a political system and an economic system that just blend together so beautifully. And Father, we know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, your hand was at play. This providential leading that brought a unique economic system, a unique political system together. And Father, we're so thankful for the men and women who have served and are serving at this very hour to provide this freedom. But Father, we cross this with the great freedom with which we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. For it is in the spiritual realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to make the appraisals we need to make, to do with our time and our money, our friends. So many decisions we have to make throughout the day. We have your Spirit to give a spiritual appraisal in these decisions. So, Father, we're so thankful for the person and work of Jesus Christ and his exalted position. And Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use this humble assembly and the spreading of the gospel. And Father, we just put our cup out there. You've just seen fit so much to use this assembly and the internet, the young people, missionaries, singing. Father, there still may be other things out there, other avenues that you have prepared for us. Just open our eyes to these things, Father. Father, we pray all of these things now in Christ's name. Amen.
Turning your hymnal again to number 490. I'll tell you what, Wes and I will go through the first verse together, just him and me. And if we get through that, then you can join us in just repeating verse number one. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
That's a great hymn. We got to get back to singing some of these great hymns. Wow. I am bound for the promised land. Wow. And in our youth choir, we had little sarcastic remarks to make about that one when we sang it. The choir director didn't appreciate those either. He had just no real sense of humor. Okay, Romans chapter 5. Actually, well, we'll start there. Give us a springboard to our study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit who is the teacher. We had a very important, in fact, I really should just repeat a portion of that message this morning about the Spirit-filled life and how, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, look with me. I'm not going to, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 a moment. It was a very crucial study. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is one of those four or five chapters in the Bible, the New Testament, that deal with the Holy Spirit. And it is a crucial chapter in the Bible in that respect. But we're looking at chapter 2, and we looked at verse 15. But he who is spiritual, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. And people, this can be a very dangerous verse. I just want you aware of that. It's a very dangerous verse. Because people can use this saying a lot of things that it does not say. So we need to be very careful. And I like the understanding of anakrino, appraising rather than judging. There's a difference between appraising and judging. We're not here to judge. We're not here to judge one another. We're not here to make these kind of things. But we are under responsibility to make spiritual appraisement. And very quickly, the best example that I could come up with that kind of communicates in a casual sense. Take a young man through the summer, has his buddies, enjoys them, eating pizza at midnight, drinking Coca-Colas, all this stuff. August comes. It's time now to get ready for football. So he makes an appraisal, not a judgment. Makes an appraisal about himself. I can't be doing that. I've got to be in good physical condition for the fourth quarter, which is where games are won and lost, your legs. I've got to be there. So I'm making an appraisal about fast foods, French fries, Coca-Cola, midnight pizzas and all this. He's not judging his friends. He's making an appraisal about himself. Now we do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to make appraisals about ourselves. And then it says, and appraised by no man. This does not mean that the Spirit-filled believer is above, for an example, Romans 13, law of the land. Doesn't mean anything like the Roman Church has, where the Pope speaks extra cathedral and infallible. Doesn't mean that at all. We have to understand that how quickly the sin nature, the flesh nature, the natural man springs up. So in our life, this is why we walk by faith, people. But you got to have the Spirit filled, the Holy Spirit, truth of the knowledge of Scripture. You got to have both of these in function. And some people, well, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's walking by the knowledge of doctrine. Well, what if you don't know all the doctrine? What if you go, well, I know all of this, and you make your decisions, and you get a bloody nose. How did that happen? Well, you didn't know about this other verse. You didn't correctly understand the verse. All these other things. We walk by faith, people. We walk by faith. This is crucial to our lives and understanding these things. So this is why you have to be filled with the Spirit. I'm not infallible. Never say, I don't care what that man, whatever that man teaches, that's it, that's truth. Don't ever do that. Don't put man in that kind of position. And I know some people that do that. Not with me, but, oh, well, whatever that guy, that's it, that's truth. People, that's not healthy. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the responsibility of spiritually appraising things. Spiritually going through things in your own soul. Your own life. And this is why it's so difficult in picking out a Bible teacher. There aren't that many, first of all, but being able to pick him out. There's so much involved in this whole issue. And being spiritually appraising and spiritually appraising things becomes of great issue. So let's spend a moment in prayer, testing yourself, see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to things we're going to be looking at in dealing with our study in Romans chapter 5. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at all your provisions, the things that you have prepared for us, the things that you freely give us. It begins with the giving of eternal life, the giving of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes this morning to things you'd have us to see and understand about our eternal life, about the gracious gift that you've given to us, the free gift you've given to us, and the impact it should make on our daily lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, verse 15, in Romans chapter 5, but the free gift, and we're going to be talking about the free gift in verse 15, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that. So this is going to go on throughout our study. What is that free gift? The free gift, we know from Romans chapter 6, is eternal life. Chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, rather than going through the doctrine of eternal life, which is what I'd be prone to do here, because of where we've been, and those that are able to come on Wednesday night, we have studied the Lord's Prayer in John 17. So if you'll turn to John 17 for our study on eternal life, taken right from the words of Jesus Christ. We're not going to go through all the passages in the New Testament that deal with eternal life. We're going to confine this to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And we started this last Sunday morning. So let's just get rolling to where we left off. It begins in verse 2, but we'll start with verse 1 just in the reading. This is a prayer of Jesus Christ. This is before he crossed the Kindred, before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. This is before the prayer of, let this cup pass from me. This is a prayer between Jesus Christ and God the Father, audibly for the disciples to hear. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, and I just got to stop because to me it's so gracious. Nowhere in the Old Testament did they pray to God the Father and address him as Father. This is a privilege you and I have because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You and I get to pray, Father. Don't just run that through. This is a privilege that we have that Abraham did not have, Moses did not have, David did not have. They knew him as Father. They never prayed to him as Father. You and I have this privilege to address him as Father. The hour has come. And all through John, he talks about his hour. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. What is he talking about? He's talking about the cross. He's talking about the judgment of the personal sins of every human being in history. The imputation of all the personal sins of the world being imputed to him. The resurrection, ascension, session, that the Son may glorify thee. Now we come to verse 2, which is where we spent last week. And he says, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he, Jesus Christ, may give eternal life. People, this is powerful. And we spent time last week looking at the phrase eternal life. And one of the concepts that I want to just briefly go over was the nomenclature under point 3. The nomenclature. People, every human being lives after they die. If I wanted to just use it, I could say every unbeliever has eternal life, meaning they will live forever. In Scripture, it is a technical phrase referring not to the quantity of life, but the quality of life. That's the easiest way I know how to make that distinction. So, eternal life refers to the existence. It would be better translated everlasting, from the moment you believe in Christ throughout all eternity. But we'll stay with eternal life, but it's really everlasting life. So, the expression refers to the quality of existence after we die, not to the quantity. In order that he may give eternal life, and this is where we left off. Okay, now, what is the condition of him giving eternal life? Look at the things that we're going to look at now, conditioning that Jesus Christ gives to you and to me eternal life. One, first of all, it's conditioned on God giving all mankind over to God the Son. Secondly, it's conditioned on the Son glorifying the Father. Death of the cross. Three, it's conditioned on God giving all mankind who believe in Jesus Christ over to Jesus Christ. Four, God the Father giving the power and authority to the Son to give eternal life. Belongs to God. He gave it to his Son, and he gave his Son the authority and the power to give it to you and to me, everyone who believes. So five, this includes everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. And you will not return to it right now, but John 3:36. Six, if one does not receive this life, it is not the fault of God. It is not the fault of Jesus Christ. It is the fault of the individual. God the Father gave his Son. His Son gave his life on the cross. God judged the sins of the world. This person has said, I do not want to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That some do not receive this life is not because of God. It is because they have made this decision. Every individual who does not receive this life from Jesus Christ will not receive it because they have rejected the love of Christ. These are the saddest words in the Bible. Matthew 23:37, unwilling. Isaiah 28:12, they would not listen. People, these are realities. There are people that are otherwise intelligent people. You present the gospel, I don't believe that. So they are unwilling to believe. They refuse to even listen to the truth. Morgan was telling me, and I want to see if it's going to be aired again so I can watch it, a three-part series of Stephen Hawking, the great physicist in England. And he spends the third hour, the whole hour, there is no God. Methinks thou protest too much. That's the bottom line with that. You spend a whole hour. There is no God. If there is no God, why are we even talking about it? Why are you so adamant about it? See? And I love that I saw, I did not really get into it. I remember seeing the preview of it, the commercial of it, and it's called The Grand Design. But there's no designer. Wait a minute. I mean, call it something else. Because if you call it a design, it presupposes a designer. But he spends a whole hour, is that right, Mark? And there is no God. And he does what a lot of people do. Well, this is not true. Well, wait a minute. Who says that's not true? Why isn't that true? But then, and because that's not true, then this is not true, and this is not true. Well, we got to go back to that first thing there. Who said that's not true? So I'm going to look forward to, if they'll rerun it, to get it down and watch it. But people, there's an intelligent human being. Walk circles around us in physics, math, all these things. There's no God. There's no Christ. There's no salvation. There's no heaven. There's no eternal life. When we die, it's all over. But you know what? We know better. Man knows better. All through history, man has known better. Why do you think that the ancient religions of the world, the modern religions of the world, are in existence? Because man knows innately, this is not the end. There's more after this. Now, we reject that it's one true God. We reject that it's by faith in Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross, bearing the judgment and sins of the world, which answers every question, every problem. No, we don't want to believe that. We want to believe this. We want to believe that. So you have all these wonderful problems. But man knows that there is. So eternity. Understanding eternal life. Let's go through a few things here. One, man's initial relationship with God is one of creature and creator. Man's initial beginning relationship with God is one of creature and creator. Two, God is the God of the whole human race. God is the God of the whole human race by virtue of creation. Whether acknowledged or not. Whether acknowledged or not. Let's write down and then turn to Jeremiah 32:27. And let's turn to Jeremiah 32:27, please. Jeremiah 32:27. If you don't know where Jeremiah is, look at the table of contents. But if you can find Psalms and then go over to Isaiah and then keep going, you'll come to another big book called Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah, by the way, prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar would come Babylon and overtake Judah. And he told them why. All these things we'll be getting into when we come to Daniel. Now, we're not going to be able to spend all this time. I need 2 or 3 hours just for the introduction of Daniel. But I'm not going to do that. I've told you, we're going to try to do this chapter by chapter, so week by week. So we're not going to spend this kind of time. But anyway, Jeremiah 32, everybody should have found Jeremiah by now. Chapter 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. In anything, is anything too difficult for me? And people, this is our understanding of God. And is anything too difficult to me? Is it too difficult for me to give my righteousness to an unrighteous creature? No, I've got that covered out of my love. Is it too difficult for me to get the gospel somewhere on this little bitty planet Earth because there's one person that does want to hear the gospel, but I can't get there? What kind of God is that? I can't get there with the gospel. What about the person who's never, and he's dead there, and there's no gospel, no TV, no radio, no nothing? God can't get there. Sorry, God. Nothing's too difficult for me. I can do it. But, continuing point one, or point two here, he is not the father of the whole human race. He is the God of the whole human race. He is the God of the universe, but he's not the father of the whole human race. Only those who believe, Galatians 3:26. Point three, every member of the human race is a living soul, Genesis 2:7, alive, life. Life forever in the likeness of God. What does it mean to be in the likeness of God? It means you're never going to die. Everlasting. Four, all souls belong to God. They belong to God. Ezekiel 18:4, Daniel 5:23. We'll take a look at them later. Five, man's eternal state after death, with God, his relationship with God, is determined by his response to God's gracious offer during his life. Now it's time to turn to John 3:36. We've already referred to it, but now it's time to turn to it. John 3:36. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son and obey his faith, believing, shall not see life, this eternal life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Very important passage of Scripture. A lot of people are trying to teach today there is no heaven and hell. Everyone's going to go to heaven. People, I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before last, I gave you Albert Einstein's, well, I think it's just a brilliant quote. And that is, make things as simple as possible, but not simpler than they are. And I love that. Make the gospel simple as possible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's simple. That you don't have to believe at all, that everyone's going to be saved, that's simpler than it is. So we want to stay with the gospel as simple as possible, but not simpler than it is. Let's stay with what the gospel truly is. Point six. There are just two categories of people in the human race. The believer and the unbeliever. The saved and the unsaved, the saved and the lost. Those who are being saved, those who are perishing, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Point seven, there are two destinations, one of two destinations. One is a place of bliss. John 14:1-3. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 22, 7. And B, the place of torments. Luke 16:19-31, Revelation 20:15. People, an unbeliever will exist, be living forever and ever in torment. So you're going to live after this life. That's a fact. This life is not the end of everything. It's not the end of you. So there's one of two places you can exist, either in bliss or in torments. 8. The saved soul. The saved soul anticipates, hopes, and should live according to these things. A resurrected life. John 5:29. A resurrected life. B, a far better place. Philippians 1:23, a far better place. Now, a lot of us, we know there are better places. All we have to do is drive through some neighborhoods. Well, that's a lot better than where I live. We know there's a better place. And I suppose it can be said, no matter how grand your place is, there's probably a better place. AOL said there's an island you can buy. I think it was for $75 million. You can buy this whole island. So it's probably always a better place. Well, people, I'm here to tell you there's a better place eternally for all of us. A far better place. Philippians 1:23. See? Spending eternity in the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 5:8. People, I want to be with my wife. I want to be with my mother. I want to be with my dad. I want to be with this friend. I want to be with that. People, forget all of that. It's going to be in the presence of God. It's going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. D, not only spending eternity with God, but knowing Him personally. But knowing Him personally. Look at John 17:3 coming up. John 17:3. And this is eternal life. This is it. That they may know thee, the only true God. People, that's our life here. There are people who exist today, believers and unbelievers. There are people who are alive today. Those who are living today are those who know Jesus Christ, know the Word of God, growing in the knowledge of Christ. They're alive. They're not walking around in darkness. They're alive. They're not appraising their life in darkness. They're appraising their life in the light of the Word. So, this becomes extremely important. Spending eternity with God is knowing Him personally. John 17:3. Spending eternity in the presence and association with our Lord and Savior. Going to be with Him forever. I hope that Jesus Christ becomes such a more reality than your husband, than your wife, than your parents, than your friends, that this becomes, boy, I get to see Him, like that hymn we sang earlier. I get to see Him, see His face. What does He look like? If we lived in a society where somebody else, say your parents, chose whom you were going to marry, what is she going to look like? What does He look like? We want to know. Well, people, we're going to be able to be forever with Jesus Christ and see Him face to face. So spending eternity with God is with association with our Lord and Savior. John 14:1-3. John 17:3. John 17:3. Take a look at the rest of it. We didn't read it all. And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That's eternal life. So if you want a little bit of eternal life now, know Him now. Know Him now. Commercial. Wednesday night, we're studying about 3 forsakings of Christ. We're studying how He is betrayed by a friend, how He is denied by a friend, how He is forsaken by friends. And we're going to see why each of these took place. And we're going to see the solution to each one of these. Because each one of them has a solution. As to why he was betrayed, what's the solution? Why he was denied, and what's the solution? Why he was forsaken, and what's the solution? It may come a reality in our own society where people will start forsaking him. Forsaking they even know him. Forsaking going to church. Forsaking him. So this is going to become a reality in our lives. All right, F, an inheritance reserved in heaven. An inheritance reserved in heaven. Well, I'll be glad when Grandpa dies. Well, we're going to get some stuff when Grandpa dies. Grandma dies, we're going to get. I want this. I want that. I don't have that much. My grandchildren are already tagging what they want. And I don't have that much. They're already tagging it. And I'm going, what is this? What do you think I'm getting ready to do, die? Well, you will. Can I have that? See? People, we don't have to worry about these inheritances here. We've got an inheritance, incorruptible, defiled in heaven, reserved for you. Unbelievable inheritance for us. 1 Peter 1:4. And then finally, G, reunion with loved ones in the Lord. And that is wonderful. Reunion with loved ones in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Okay, contrast, point 9. While the lost soul, the unbeliever, faces the following. A Christless eternity, separated from God and from Jesus Christ. B, resurrection of damnation, John 5:29. Resurrection of damnation. There are two resurrections. There's the resurrection of the believers, and there's the resurrection of unbelievers. They will be resurrected. It's called a resurrection of damnation, John 5:29. And see, eternal lake of fire, Matthew 25:41, Matthew 25:41, Revelation 20:15. And I have to end point 10 with a point 10 with the following. Point 10. The soul of the one who believes in Jesus Christ is 1. Saved in life by faith in Christ, 1 Peter 1:9. Psalm 34:22. Secondly, preserved. Saved and preserved through life, Jude 1:24. And 3, delivered. Delivered. 2 Corinthians 5:8. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Philippians 3:21. You believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved in life, you're preserved through life, you're delivered to eternal life, to life with God. All right, let's look at John 17, verse 2. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, in order that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. We receive eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:16. John 5:24. Not based on human works. Not based on anything related to the flesh. People are talking about something that goes into eternity. It can't be related to the flesh. The flesh is temporary. It's temporary. It's got to be something related to the eternal. So it cannot be related to this earth. It's a free gift of God. You can't earn or deserve it. That's why Romans 5 is so important. Free gift. That's why John 17, verse 3, 2 and 3 is important. Given, that he may give eternal life. While faith is related to the spiritual, to eternal, faith does not rely on anything related to the flesh, people. does not rely on anything related to the flesh or to this earth. That's why it's so important to know that the faith that God is looking for. Is this the faith God is looking for? That I do something, and if I do it, God will bless me? Or is the faith God is looking for a faith in a member of the Godhead? This is very important. All of these issues are so important. Only faith in a member of the Godhead is sufficient to God, because that is something eternal. Faith in works of the flesh, repentance, confession, inviting Jesus into your heart, making Him Lord, all these types of things. These are works of the flesh. They don't touch eternity. Faith in what I do is not what God is looking for. Secondly, what is the place of Jesus Christ in the request to give eternal life? What is the place of Jesus Christ in respect to giving eternal life? What gives Him this power? What gives Him this right? One, God the Father gave it to the Son. People, it starts with the God the Father, as does everything. It starts with God the Father has given to His Son, Jesus Christ. Not the deity of Jesus Christ, but the humanity of Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 5, verse 26. We're not looking at a whole lot of passages, but every now and then there are just a few that you should carry away in your soul and have in your Bible. John 5, verse 26. Verse 26 of John 5. For, just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son. Now people, this is not talking about the deity of Christ. Deity of Christ is eternality. That's what qualifies Him to be God. Also, He is given to, He gave to the Son, also to have life in Himself. So God the Father gives this life to Jesus Christ. Now, so point two here. Now God the Father has given Jesus Christ the authority, the position, to give this life to whom He chooses. He chooses whom He will give this life to. Oh, don't you mothers wish you got to choose who you gave life to? Boy, wouldn't that be nice? I don't want to give life to this bum. This guy's going to grow up to be a bum, cause me a lot of trouble, cost me a lot of money. I want this little Lord Fauntleroy. He's going to be wonderful. He'll just be so obedient, so nice. And this little girl, little Sally, she'll just be so sweet. No, we don't get to choose that. God does. And it's not going to be based on who's sweet and nice. It's going to be based on one thing, who believes in His Son. So point two, God the Father has given to Jesus Christ the authority to give this life to whomever He chooses. And Jesus Christ gives this life to everyone who believes in Him. Jesus Christ gives His own life, given to Him by God the Father, to those who believe in Him. John 17, 2 and 3, compared with John 20, look at verse 20, chapter 20, just a few chapters over, John 20, verse 31. John 20, verse 31. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. See, that's a transliteration, not a translation. It's a good place to see that. It should be the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one appointed by God. We'll give you a clear understanding. Remember, Christ is not, neither is Jesus, by the way, but Christ is not a translation. Christ is a transliteration. A translation is what's important. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one anointed by God. Then it says, the Son of God. And that believing, you may have life in His name. 3. Jesus Christ. Subpoint 3. The God-man. The Son of God. The Son of Man. Is actually called or given the title of eternal life. He's actually given the title of eternal life. That's what His name is. That's what He's called. Giver of life. Look at 1 John. Go back toward Revelation. Come to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, 1 and 2. First John chapter 1, not First John 1, 9, but First John 1, 1 and 2. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our hands, handled concerning the word of life, Jesus Christ. And the life was manifested, and we have, the life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with God and was manifested to us. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is eternal life. To know Him by faith is to have this life. And people, again, I want to reiterate, you can have it right now in your life right now. The more you learn about Christ, the more you live in reality, not in shadows, not in non-reality. The more we learn about Jesus Christ, as Peter says, growing in the knowledge of Christ, the more we understand Him, as we're doing on Wednesday night now, His crucifixion, resurrection, the more we absorb Him, the more you live in your life right now. Now, and while we're here, look at 1 John 5:20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It's Jesus Christ is His life. That's why faith in Him is so important. This is His title. Subpoint 4. At this point, Jesus Christ is eternal life and therefore qualified by His own person and by authority given to Him by God the Father to give eternal life to whomever He pleases. And He has chose to give this life to anyone, everyone who believes in Him. And subpoint 5, very important subpoint 5. We are not given eternal life based on anything that we do here on earth. We're not given the assurance of what's going to happen after we die based on how we live while we're here. That's what a lot of people think, both Christian and non-Christian. Certainly, what's going to happen after life is affected by what we do here, how we live here. That's the way religions have it, even the religions under the Christian umbrella. Certainly that must be, makes sense. It makes sense that how you and I live after death is going to be determined by how you and I live on earth. That makes sense. What does God say? Your ways are not my ways. Your thinking is not my thinking. The way you understand things is not the way I do. They have no relationship. The only relationship between you now and eternity is your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only relationship that's there. So we are not given eternal life based on anything we do here on earth, how we live, whether we're moral, immoral, religious, all these things. Religious people, legalistic people, they want to take the credit. I'm storing up stuff for me in heaven. I'm earning eternal life, this type of thing. Rather than being totally grateful. See, when you can begin to grasp what I'm saying, you come to where Paul is, it's a gracious gift. It's a gracious gift. Be thankful. I can't earn this. I can't earn what's going to happen after I die, by how I live now. I know that. I'm not a dummy. If it's based on some way I live, I'm going to blow it. I know that. Especially under the Christian umbrella, because remember, under the Christian umbrella, unlike any other ones, it's how you think. You think murder? You're murdered. You're just a murderer. You think some sexual assault? You're guilty. Just by thinking it. All this. See? So I'm out. I'm dead. There's no eternal life for me, Father. I might as well go live in some kind of alcohol bottle. I might as well just go live in a tequila bottle. Because it's over for me. It's over. No, it's not. All you have to do is to believe in my Son. I can do that. That I can do. I can simply believe. But if it depends on me doing, and people, even if it depends on me keeping that faith moment by moment in Him, because I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be angry at Him. I'm going to be all of these things. I love one of the scenes. I don't know if you even care to watch it. I don't really recommend it. It's not really a good series. But the Hatfields and McCoys. I mean, boy, there's one scene where the McCoy, he says, listen, I prayed to God, but look at all the bad things that's happened. My daughter shot, my wife's been wounded, my son's murdered, all this type of thing. What kind of God is this? And he became very discouraged, disillusioned with God. Now, I have no idea whether he truly believed in Jesus Christ, but for the sake of discussion, let's say he did. But he reached that point. He looked at his life. What kind of God is? I don't want anything to do with this God. Don't want anything to do with Him. He's still saved because God is faithful. So it doesn't depend on me maintaining it, working at it, doing it. It just depends on me believing in His Son. And you have this life, you have this eternal life forever. So we should be totally grateful all the time. I think one of the things that comes out of sin, don't worry about confession, you're already forgiven. What comes out of sin, thank you, Father, that I still have eternal life in spite of what I just did. That's your grace. That's your love. That's your mercy. In spite of what I just did, in spite of what I just said, in spite of what I just thought, I still have eternal life. Wow, what kind of God is you? Thank you, Father. Thank you for this life. We're in fear of death, our own or someone we love. Thank you that this is taken care of, Father. So, even though 1 John is about spiritual love, all through the John, he deals with eternal life. Let me just give you some passages, and you can look them up. 1 John 1:2, 1 John 2:25. 1 John 3:15, 1 John 5:11, 1 John 5:13 and 20. And we'll close with subpoint 6, why Jesus Christ? Because He's our Savior. No one else has been appointed by God to be the giver of eternal life. No one. That's why Jesus Christ. Because He is the only one appointed by God to have the authority to give eternal life. There is life in none other. So, this is why Jesus Christ. Well, next week we'll take a few more looks at 17, 2 and 3, and then complete our study on eternal life. Any questions over what we looked at this morning? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. And we thank you. Father, we don't know all the things that we should thank you for. We know a lot of them. We don't know all the wonderful things you've prepared for us in eternity past. All the things you freely give us, we know some. And Father, we know that you've given to us through your Son eternal life. We have no fear of death. We have no fear of after death. We know exactly what's going to happen after we die. We know we have this life in Christ. What manner of God is this, Father, that you give us this assurance? We just praise you for the awesome God you are. And Father, it becomes therefore our motivation to learn more and more and more about you and about your Son. To learn all that we can in the short time we have here on earth. To start enjoying aspects of that eternal life right now and walking with Jesus Christ. Father, we're so thankful that you've given to us your Son. We're so thankful you've given to us your Spirit. We're so thankful you've given to us your Word. All these put together, we comprehend our life, both now and in eternity. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen this morning, let them settle in our souls, give us confidence, encouragement, peace, and Heavenly Father, the desire to live our life glorifying and telling others of Jesus Christ. Pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.